Good morning. Welcome to everyone. It's good to have you here this Sunday morning. Today is Pentecost Sunday, a delightful celebration this morning. Welcome to each and every one of you, especially any visitors that are here. It's old hat for many of you, but I would like to remind you that there are cards in the pews. There's a yellow card. If you have a prayer request, we would delight to pray for you this week and during the service if you would like, so you can fill that out and hand it to the usher. And if you are visiting and would like more information or would like to ask some questions or to meet with one of the with Pastor Micah here, fill that out as well, and that would be a delight. A few announcements today. The first one is that there's potluck after the service today. Everyone is invited. If you have lunch plans, cancel them, because this potluck is going to be superior. So please stay for the potluck today. On Monday, there will be coffee and conversations. That's at 2 o'clock. It's just a time where we get together, enjoy some coffee and some treats, and hear a devotion from Pastor Micah. It's just a wonderful time of fellowship. I'd like to say this morning a thank you. Today is our last day of Sunday school for the year, and Sunday school is a special season, and it takes a ridiculous amount of people to pull off Sunday school, and we're just blessed with wonderful teachers here. So a big thank you. The names are in the bulletin of those who have served. Sunday school teachers, the Christian Ed Committee, the kids who help out with Kids Club, and substitute teachers. There have just been so many that have helped out. That's a great service, a great ministry, and we thank each and every one of you for taking part and serving the Lord in that way. Another announcement, with Wilderness Camp, which comes up in July, there's going to be 2 work days in June. So June 2nd and June 23rd, those dates will be in the bulletin here after this week. But if you like to go get dirty and do some work and serve the Lord with your hands, June 2nd and 23rd, if you've got questions about that, go ahead and talk to Dan Olson. He will steer you in the right direction. VBS is coming up shortly, and we have a couple more positions that need to be filled. The most important one is we need a group captain, and that's to take kids around to the different places throughout the week. You could have your choice between first and second graders or third and fourth graders. If you could do that and meet that need, talk to Karina. There's a few other opportunities to serve as well. Talk to anyone on the Christian Ed Committee for that. There is a meeting today. They're going to have meetings the next 2 weeks, today and next week. The advantage is if you go to the meeting today, you get to go first through the line at the potluck. So anybody who's serving for VBS this week, in the coming weeks, please attend one of those meetings. And again, today you can find yourself at the front of the line. You can eat and then meet, and that will be fabulous. Any other announcements this morning? Very good. Well then, hear with me this morning's call to worship from Joel chapter 2. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please rise and join me in our opening hymn.
Be seated. First John 1:7, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Let's sing, "What Can Wash Away My Sin?"
But the blood of Jesus. Colossians 3:11 says, Christ is all and in all.
Would now join me in confessing our sins using the words from Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions. And my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us, and for his sake has sent Jesus Christ to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those that believe on him, he gives the right to become children of God. To you who believe on his name, you are his son and his daughter. Amen. At this point, we'll call on the scripture reader.
First reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Please rise for the reading of the word. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others mocking said, 'They are all filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, even on my male servants and female servants. In those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon to blood, before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The second reading of day is from the Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 37 through 39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Here ends the reading for the day.
Let us now boldly confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead and is seated in heaven, and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, if the ushers would come forward to receive this morning's offering. Lord, we thank you for all the ways that you have blessed us, and we ask that you would multiply these gifts for the service of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. At this time, I will invite the children to come up. Pastor Micah has a children's sermon for you, complete with quite the illustration.
Come on forward here. Okay, so many people this time, you say, yeah. Okay, thanks for coming. I'm so glad you guys are here. I'm so glad. Did you have a good year of Sunday school? Yeah, good. I'm glad you did, and we're sorry that Sunday school has to end for the summer, but you can still come to church. We'll still do children's sermons like this, and then you can get excited for when the fall comes. You guys are going to be so much older when it's the fall, right? Yeah, you're going to be in different grades. You're going to be a year older, or well, maybe not a year older, but it'll feel like it sometimes. Okay, anyway, I'm glad you're here. Like I said, what I want to talk to you today about is water. Have you guys ever been thirsty? Raise your hand if you've ever been thirsty. When do you get thirsty? When you do hard work. That's a good answer. When you run in the sun like all day. Yeah. I ran yesterday morning in the marathon, I didn't do the marathon, but one of the other races, and I got really thirsty. Yeah. If you're dehydrated, when else do you get thirsty? When you're sweaty? Doing so many things, right? Now, if you're thirsty and I gave you a cup with nothing in it, would that help you? No. What do you need? You need water. So let's pretend. Could I get a volunteer to come forward? Okay. Why don't we get a volunteer? Why don't you come forward, Rylan? Let's have Rylan come forward. Okay. So let's say, Rylan, you're really thirsty. Are you really thirsty? Okay, just pretend you're really thirsty. Okay, come here. I'm going to give you some water to make you not thirsty anymore. So you come sit here and there you go. Put it over. Okay, you can drink that if you want. Now we're pretending you're really thirsty. Did that make you feel better? It did? Just a couple of drops? If you're really thirsty and you only get a couple of drops of water, does that make you feel not thirsty? How much water do you need to be not thirsty? You need a lot, right? Yeah, you know, the Bible talks about, and you can stay here for just a second, okay, buddy? And then we're going to get another volunteer to come up in just a second, but just wait, because the Bible and Mr. Loken just read it earlier, that when we believe in Jesus, if we're thirsty, okay, and he's not talking about physical thirst, like when we need water, he's talking about spiritual thirst, that we need God. Did you guys know that we need God? Okay, that's good, I'm glad. When we need God, Jesus said it's almost like we're thirsty. Okay, and when God comes, when we believe in him, does God help us just a little bit, like just a few drops? Oh, sorry, you can hold it all the way over. Is this how much God helps us? How much does God help us? He gives us a lot. It overflows even. It says, let me read these verses again. It says, if you're thirsty, if you need God, come to me, Jesus says, and drink. And if you believe in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So, Rylan, hold that cup over there. So, if you need God and you believe in him, this is how much he helps you. You got to hold it there no matter what happens. No matter what happens, you got to hold it there. Okay? Is that enough water to make you not thirsty anymore? Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, too much. Here, you can dump that in there if you want. And then stay here for just one more second. Okay? Now, one other cool thing happens. Okay, because Jesus said this is like the Holy Spirit who comes and we overflow because when we have Jesus, we have all we need and more. So let's get one more volunteer to come up. Okay, all right. Yeah, there you go. Hallie, right? Okay, so Rylan, no, you can still hold that cup. Okay, now Hallie, you can hold that cup. Now Rylan, you got to hold yours up like this. And Hallie, you got to hold your cup underneath his. So what happens is when Rylan gets all he needs and more, when he has Jesus and his love and his grace and his life just flows out of us, the Bible says. It flows out like living water. And then, if you hold it there and you can't move it no matter what happens, okay, now all of a sudden, it flows out to other people. So now you have enough water, right? Now do you have any water? You have some. So we would just keep going like this, and then it would just keep. And now all of a sudden, you have a full cup too. You see how that goes? Oh, yeah. Okay. And so when we have Jesus, you can dump that in. You guys can go sit down if you want. There you go. Yeah, dump it on each other too. Good. Okay. Thank you. You can go sit down. Okay. So here's the point. Yeah, when we have Jesus, you guys, we have all we need, okay? And he gives us so that we're always satisfied. And then his love and his grace is so wonderful that it just pours out of us to other people too, so that there's other people around us who see Jesus in us too. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thanks for coming up. You guys can go and sit down, all right? Thank you so much for that, Sarah and Hannah. When I taste your goodness, I shall not want. We are in the book of Ezekiel this morning, Old Testament book of prophecy that maybe we don't visit very often here on Sunday mornings, but I'm excited to share this text with you this morning. Ezekiel chapter 37, reading verses 1 through 14, and I would ask that you would please stand with me out of respect, out of reverence for God's word. Ezekiel chapter 37, reading verses 1 through 14 in Jesus' name. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones, and he led me out around among them. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land, then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. These are your words, O Heavenly Father. They are filled with power and majesty and law and grace and life. And God, I pray that as we study these words of yours today, you would open our hearts to hear what you have for us. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts gathered here this morning would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. I love John chapter 6, and I love it for a lot of reasons. Maybe I could say mostly for its overall message. The chapter begins with the feeding of the 5,000. The Bible says that number comes from the number of men estimated there, and so it was probably closer to 10,000 people that miracle happened to, when you include women and children. And Jesus fed those 10,000-ish people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's remarkable. But the people then thought that that's what Jesus was good for, just to make them feel good, to fill their bellies. They chased him down the next day, and Jesus says to them, you're only seeking me because you ate your fill of loaves. I provided a temporal good, and that's what you think I'm here for. And Jesus says in verse 27, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man, Jesus, will give to you. And he exhorts them to believe in him there, that he is the bread of life. Feed on him for eternal life. Now, Jesus does take good care of us now. I think sometimes potlucks are a little bit miraculous. There's always food. Okay, God is wonderfully giving us our daily bread through all of you who made food for us today. And that's great. But ultimately, that's not why we're here, right? I hope not. Okay? If I said we're canceling potluck after church, how many would get up and leave right now? Good. I don't see anybody moving. Here's the deal. That's kind of what happened in John 6. Jesus says, if you think I'm here just to fill your bellies, you're mistaken. I came for so much more. I came to feed your soul. I came to give you eternal life. And towards the end of John 6, it says that many people left. They walked away because their concern was only for the temporal, their need. And we'll come back to that a little bit later, but I talked about that with the kids. The people only saw their need as temporal for the here and now. Fast forward now to today. I read a study out of Princeton that interviewed many teenagers from a variety of religious and cultural backgrounds. A 17-year-old Mormon boy. My religion is just be good, and if I'm not, then try to get better. A non-religious teen. I think every religion is important in its own respect. It's just whatever makes you feel good about you. A 15-year-old Hispanic conservative Protestant girl. God is like someone who's always there for you. When I became a Christian, I was just praying and it always made me feel better. A Jewish teen who says that Judaism teaches her to help people and that makes her feel good. Another conservative Protestant teen. Religion is very important because it feels good to get stuff off your chest. There's a phrase that researchers have for this very popular way of thinking nowadays. They call it moral therapeutic deism, where God is a divine creator and lawgiver, but isn't demanding because his job is basically to solve our problems and make us feel good. This Princeton article says that in this belief, God is a combination of divine butler and cosmic therapist. He's always on call to take care of any problems and help us feel good about ourselves without becoming too personally involved. Do you ever hear people judge their time at church by how it made them feel? Or even more dangerous, someone who questions their faith because they haven't been feeling good about it lately. If you're not resonating with that, open your ears and your eyes because it's everywhere. I think on some level it's a temptation for all of us, and it's no different than the people in John 6 where our faith, our relationship with God, with Christ, is dependent on whether we're feeling good and adequately taken care of in this life now. It's Pentecost today. We focus on the Holy Spirit, and in John 6:63, Jesus says to those people, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. The life that Jesus gives. The reason we are here today, the best food we are going to eat today is eternal food. It's eternal life. And it comes to us by the Holy Spirit through the words that I have spoken, Jesus says. Through Jesus, the Word of God. Our text in Ezekiel gives us a striking picture of what that means. And I want you to follow me with this today. I encourage you to please do this. It's a dream that God gave the prophet where Ezekiel was taken out by the Spirit into the middle of a valley. And this valley was full of bones, and there were many of them, and they were very dry. In verse 3, God asks Ezekiel, can these bones live? This is a difficult picture. You see, Ezekiel had been pronouncing God's judgment on the Israelites. They were in exile because of their sin, their disobedience, their pride, their idolatry. In Ezekiel 24, God tells Ezekiel that he's going to take the delight of his eyes away from him as a sign for the people. And do you know what that meant to Ezekiel? God says, Ezekiel, I'm going to take away the delight of your eyes. Next day, Ezekiel's wife died. And God says that was a sign for the people. And so the people come and they say to Ezekiel, what does this mean? And Ezekiel goes into God's judgment against them for their idolatry and their pride. And he ends it by saying, you shall rot away in your iniquity and groan to one another. And then we have these dry bones representing the Israelites, completely rotted away so that the bones are even dry. There is zero life on these bones at all. Friends, that is a far more sobering picture of the consequence of sin than our world would ever want us to deal with. You see, we know we're not perfect and that we need help, but in our arrogance and pride and our idolatry, we think we don't need as much help as we actually do. We think we can get by with a butler who comes when we ring the bell for service, or with a therapist who can help us feel good about ourselves, or even a magician who can make feasts out of a few ingredients. And this valley of dry bones tells us that the problem is much worse. It's like you go to the doctor's office. Let's even use the phrase, the great physician. Like the old hymn, who heals the sick, it says. But the first job of a physician is to diagnose. And you sit down in the doctor's office, waiting for the news, hoping the diagnosis isn't too bad, that there's an easy plan of treatment for whatever you're struggling with. And the physician comes in and says, the problem is a lot worse than you think. You're actually dead. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6. We are dead in our trespasses and sins, Ephesians 2. Our problem, friends, is far worse than we would ever care to think. And any theology, any pastor, any church that says that you just need to try harder, or just live a better life, or just know that God's only here to make you feel good about yourself, that you just need a good life coach, a motivator, a cheerleader, I'm telling you that you are being misdiagnosed and misled. You don't need those things. You need a resurrection. Because in your sin, you're nothing more than a pile of dry bones in a desert, devoid of any life. In verse 11 of our text, the Israelites confess, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are indeed cut off. Can these bones live? God asks. Ezekiel replies, O Lord God, you know. I love that answer. That question removes any pretense that you and I can get by on our own or even with the help of Coach God. Imagine if this was an instruction to the Israelites, to us. Ezekiel, you just make these bones live. Any idea how to do that? I went out to wilderness camp a few weeks ago, the camp that is close by here, AFLC camp that we help with. I went out there to help wire the new building. I had two very good coaches helping me that day, and I'm pretty sure I still messed up because I'm that incapable. I don't know how to make bones live, do you? Only God knows, Ezekiel says. Friends, what we need is resurrection. How many of you have that on the skills section of your resume? That's why Ezekiel says here, God, you know. There's one person, only one, who knows how to bring life from death. As one writer said it, only when we die to our illusions of control, success, power, victory, and self-reliance can we be born again into new life. After the doctor's disturbing diagnosis, which makes us want to storm out and get a second opinion, we finally are ready to hear the cure. Ironically, the cure, he says, is found in the same place as the diagnosis. The cross. It is there that we see that we are indeed beyond self-repair and need nothing short of salvation. It is there that we find our cure in the sacrifice of the innocent one, God's only Son, Jesus. Hear these words from our text. Look at what Ezekiel prophesies. O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear that? What brings life? God's word. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, look, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you. I will cause flesh to come upon you. I will cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you shall live. And then listen to this, and you shall know that I am the Lord God. God gives us life, and it's to his glory, because he's the one who does it. Ezekiel spoke the word of the Lord as he was commanded. These bones rattled, they came to life, breath came into them, and they lived. A great army, it says. I mentioned verse 11 already, where it's explained that this is the house of Israel, and God gets very direct here to the Israelites, confessing their sin and the death that that brings, their hopelessness and separation outside of God. And then at the end of this text, God addresses them specifically as he does you today and me. Verse 12. Thus says the Lord. Catch that again. This is God's word. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and raise you from your graves. O my people, I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. God causes life and breath to enter us. This is what God does. His law reveals our true condition, worse than we could have thought. Dead in our trespasses and sins, standing at the cross, guilty, deserving to be hung on it for all to see. But then comes Jesus. Broken and beaten, hung on the cross for you, to be ridiculed for you, and he shed his blood for you, to die for you. And that is love that is far greater than anything we could ever hope to imagine. It's love that defeats death. It's love that brings resurrection, that sets us free, that gives us hope. Hope that breathes new life into these dry bones. Through the one who knows how to resurrect. I have spoken and I will do it, declares the Lord. Is there any greater comfort? And I want to finish there. I hit pretty hard earlier that we don't confess faith because we feel good about it, okay? Our faith isn't dependent on whether we have an emotional experience at church on a Sunday. Our faith depends entirely on the Word of God that brings life, all right? The bread of life. Living water. That's Jesus. And that's what needs to be here every week. If there are other things missing, if the service doesn't go as we like, whatever. Do we have God's word? Yes. Amen. Do we have God's word given, spoken for you, shared with you? But friends, the wonderful thing is that that truth can and does elicit emotion. It does bring comfort, and that's good. I pray that you leave here today at peace and filled, overflowing with joy. Your goodness, as was sung there, makes it so that we don't want. We are satisfied with his goodness. That we leave here, like I said, filled with joy, but not because we sang the right songs or you sat next to the people you wanted to see or you managed to avoid shaking the pastor's hand on your way out, okay? I hope you leave with joy and peace because you know your sins are forgiven. And that God has granted you eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ, as his word and promise declares. Isn't that beautiful? Yes, it is. And if you don't feel particularly joyful or peaceful enough when you leave, please remember that those promises are still true. And they're still for you. On this day that we acknowledge the work of the Holy Spirit to give life, to point us to Jesus through the Word of God, hear this promise that has been said several times already today. From John 7, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts..." And like I said with the kids, we're talking about, do you need Jesus? Do you need help? The point here is not to get some cheap life help. The point here is to bring resurrection. Do you need help? If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink, because whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, the word of God, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. I have said it, and I will do it, God says. You who believe in Jesus, who have received the Spirit in baptism, you come to the well. If you aren't a Christian, if you've never been baptized, I invite you today to come to the well. To drink freely and to be satisfied today and each day. Amen. Let's close this morning.